Welcome back to NBL Now. Of course, it is the NBL offseason, but all eyes have very quickly turned to NBL 25. And there are 10 teams around the league with a whole bunch of fans who are wondering, what are they doing in the offseason? And what does it look like before we reload in September? And the Adelaide 36ers are definitely one of those buzz teams. The season didn't start that well for them, but boy, it finished well. And there's a bit of momentum as they take into NBL 25 as well. I'm Jack Everett, joined by the General Manager of Basketball Operations of the Adelaide 36ers, Matt Weston, newly in the role. Hey, Matt, first and foremost, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thanks for having me, Jack. Appreciate it.
How have you settled in? Been a little while now.
Yeah, look, it's probably 5-6 weeks or so. And in free agency, there's no time to sort of wait to get your feet under the desk. So you hit the ground running. So, you know, in this industry, you never sleep. So it's been good to get back into it.
I read when you were appointed, your basketball resume is one that's taken you all around the world. You did some assistant coaching in the league with the Kings and the Razorbacks. You worked closely in China and worked with the San Antonio Spurs as well. But I read now that you are 100% an Adelaide guy. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's it. My wife's an Adelaide girl. And we've been living here back here now for about 8 years. So, yep, I'm a South Aussie.
Your impressions on, I guess, free agency so far, I mean, you're watching it closely from an Adelaide perspective, but no doubt you're watching what everyone else is doing because it affects you as well. It feels like we got away to a really fast start and then things are just in a bit of a holding pattern now.
Yeah, there was probably that sugar hit, wasn't it? Right at the start, you know, everyone sort of came out and sort of said, these are where the cards are laying. And then everyone sort of let that lie. And you've got some hot commodities, which are going to go pretty quick. And then you sort of had your Will McDowell-White, where, you know, a few people were waiting around and he's obviously made his decision to pursue Europe. And then you're starting to try and jigsaw puzzle people to see how they would fit and what roles and what that would be. So, yeah, watching other teams for sure, because you start to get a bit of a sense of style of play of what some teams and how they may want to operate this season.
You mentioned Will. There were a lot of reports around him. I think on our marketplace shows, we were referring to it as the Will McDowell-White sweepstakes. There was a few teams involved. You were definitely one of them. Did you get a sense that this was the decision that he may make to actually not even play in the league and to head overseas prior?
A little bit, not, but I thought he was going to stay in Australia. There was some hint that he might be looking overseas when I spoke to his agent. But I still thought he'd probably do Australia. But I spoke to him just before he came out with the decision. He rang me on Sunday night prior and he explained his decision. And I said, well, I think it's a fantastic idea. If that's what you want to do, go do it. He's young. You can go do it at this stage. God, I'd love him in my team. But you know, if this is what he wants to go do, these opportunities may not come up again, and he wanted to tick that box off. So I said, mate, you know, really happy for you, and I look forward to following his progress.
How challenging is that for you then in your role? In one respect, you feel like you're a very good chance potentially of landing a caliber of Will, but at the same time, you can't put all the eggs in the one basket.
No, you can't. And, you know, Will did, you know, and appreciating Will, he wanted to really make that decision. And I remember the sweepstakes because I was watching it on that Monday morning. And it was a great coverage, by the way. I loved it. And, you know, everyone's waiting and waiting and waiting to sort of see. And obviously he wanted to go through that process. And you've always got your plan Bs like everyone does. All right, if this doesn't. And I think the fortunate thing was for all people involved in that sweepstakes was if Will didn't come, we were going to be going, at, you know, with an import position. It wasn't like you said, well, there's another Aussie that we would take instead of Will. It was going to be Will or an import, which then sends you down another line.
So that's now the, I guess, the main priority for you as a 36ers organization is to land that import point guard?
Yep, absolutely. Yep, absolutely. And, you know, we were lucky we had DJ and Isaac, you know, that was signed. So that gave us a 2 and a 5. So we were probably ahead of the curve a little bit there where, you know, we didn't have to panic and really try and go real aggressive trying to land people, big names in the free agency. I was going to say draft in the free agency. Will would have been a nice piece, but we appreciate and accept his decision.
With your world experience, Matt, you're a good one to ask about this in what you see in this league and the importance of a really, really good quality four man. And you look at most recent successes, Melbourne United have had Jack White, Sydney have had Xavier Cooks. He's now come back to the league as well. They're just a couple of examples off the top of my head. Do you see that as a priority for the 36ers?
Yeah, I think, you know, the way this league has played since when I coached is the four is incredibly important because you want, they've got to be able to stretch the floor. You want them to have some good foot speed and then be able to give you some rim protection, especially if you want to go small ball. So they've really got to be a four with unique skills that can pinch in some five for you if you need it. So the way this league is played and, you know, when you look around, especially when people are closing out games, there's a lot of small ball played. So what does that four look like? Can he give you some versatility?
Let's talk about most recent news, and that's Alex Starling. This story is incredibly unique. You won't find another story like this around, I don't think, in Australian sport, where he's come over to play basketball, spent some time playing footy, has come back to basketball, and now at 35 years of age, no less, he's got a one-year contract extension.
Yeah, and, you know, what I like about Alex is a great culture piece, and he's going to be able to bring the energy and dedication we're going to need on that training floor each day to push our key guys as well. And that's where we've been really deliberate around how we want to structure the team. It's not about getting 10, 11 guys that are going to be able to play 14 to 16 minutes because it doesn't work that way. You need people to be able to come in, and if that's a 3 to 3.5, 4 minute burst that we need, that we've got that guy that can do that. He's a very good guy. He understands what we want to achieve and the vision that we want to do as a group. So he really fits in well. And although 35, he's probably got the body of a 26-year-old and the fitness of it. So I'm extremely jealous because I don't. But you know what? That's all right because as long as he does, we'll be okay.
That makes two of us. That's why you and I are sitting here talking and not actually playing, I think. What did you see in Lat Mayen, or what do you see in Lat Mayen and his role with the Adelaide 36ers? Because he was another one that had interest from other teams, but he's chosen to play with you next season.
Yeah, I see a huge amount of upside. Started really well at Cairns, hit some big shots to win games. I see a guy that can shoot the ball really well, can play multiple positions, but at both ends of the floor. I also see that incredible length that he has, right? And that gives us the ability to switch a lot on defense. Length in the game now is so important. And that's what he has. There's also another part, which is the toughness. I love his toughness, and that's what I wanted to bring in. To have that guy, that Mark Dalton type, that's able to wake someone up with a bit of a screen and let him know, don't do that to my DJ or, you know, my point guard. That's not going to be accepted. So you need that little bit of mongrel. And I see him, you know, a lot of upside. And I reckon he's going to be with us for a few years.
I want to ask you about Nick Marshall, Matt. He is one of the most prodigious talents, Australian talents in the country. Yep. There have been times where we've seen bursts of it, and then there's been times, to be honest, where we haven't seen Nick play at all. Where does he fit? And do you see him being a crucial part of what you're putting together for NBL 25?
Yeah, I do. And now he's really had his legs underneath him, and now it's time to come and play. And I think where, you know, to sort of touch on what you were talking about there, you've got to have a tight rotation. Right. And Brett Brown used to say to me, you go 8 people, 7.5 in playoffs. That's how you rotate. We'll be 8, probably 9 on a pinch if we need it, if something happens. And that's how we're going to play. And I just see that it's now time for him to have that bit of continuity and consistency in this is what your role is. We're going to have very defined roles. This is what we're going to be after, what we want to get through. So once he has that, I think that's going to help him understand what he needs to do each game.
The other part to that then is Sunday Dech, who it felt at times as though Sunday was completely frozen out last season, early in the season. Did you and Scott, and have you had some conversations with him almost to show the love once again?
Yeah. I was speaking to him just last night, and I'm going to probably go over next week and spend some time with him because I think we want Sunday. A good Sunday is very good for us. He's a very good defender. You know, if he's a knockdown three, straight line drives, defend, that he's an excellent player and he's worth everything that he gets. And that's what we want to do. And again, I think it's about simplifying roles and having them very detailed about what we want. It's A, B, and C from you. Don't worry about D and E. We're going to get that from somewhere else. And I think that's what was lacking from my understanding. And I'm very big on process, roles, clarity. And then people know what they need to do and everyone else on the team knows what they're going to do. and then we'll be in a better spot.
I think that is very obvious. And if for full clarity, Matt, this is the first time that, I've had the chance to interview you. I love Scotty. I had a good chance to talk to Scotty pre-game and a couple of 36ers games, you know, behind stage before we went on air. Clarity seems to be a real focus for both of you here.
Yeah, it is, because, and I think just because of the way maybe things have gone in the past and just the way I operate, I like people to know what they've got to do, what's expected from them, what's expected from me, what's the accountable measure, but also more importantly, how am I going to support that person to be able to reach that, okay? Because people talk about accountability and say, yep, this is what I want you to do and you've got to go and do that. But what are the other things you're going to do as a basketball operations to actually say, how do I support that to ensure DJ's in the best spot he can be to be the best player?
What type of basketball should we expect this year? By the time you put together the roster and then Scott has them out on the floor every night, what sort of style of play will we see from the 36ers?
I think similar to what you saw at the end of last year, simplified, you know, some schemes on balls, get it through hands, spacing, play. With the guys that we have, you know, you've got Jason Kadee coming off the bench. He's probably, you know, arguably the got the best IQ in the game. He can space the floor. He sees the game well. So it will be a very smart team. And I think we need to just play on those strengths and try and hide our weaknesses. And that's how we'll play.
Can you get the sense that 36ers fans are on board here? As you say, you've been living in Adelaide for a while now. Even despite the struggles last season, the crowd numbers, particularly in the back half of the year, were quite high.
Absolutely. And as a former, you know, coach with the Kings, I used to come down here. This is in the early 2000s, and I hated it because we knew we were going to be up against it. Now on the other side, I understand the importance of basketball to the community here. You see it at a grassroots level. And when I would enter, after being appointed, it might have been a week after, I would enter a basketball stadium and have people come up and congratulate me and say, you know, all the best. And people I've never seen before, of course. And it really dawned on me then that they really love their basketball. And you may not agree with every comment that they say and go on about, but I also say at least they care. I'd rather that than them not say anything at all. That would worry me.
It's going to be fascinating to see how you put the rest of this roster together, because you've got a lot of really nice pieces in place already. Matt, thanks so much for your time on NBL Now. And no doubt we'll talk a lot during the course of the season.
Thanks, Jack. Appreciate it, mate. Have a good day.